Hello and welcome to another episode of the Ath Geeks Podcast. We are back with the 2012 redraft. You know, we're going to finish this redraft series up. I think we're only going to do this week and next week. So we're going to do 2012 right now, 2011 next week, and we might do 2010. Don't bet on it, though. I think we're going to take a break after that because we're 2 weeks away, a little over 2 weeks away from the NBA season coming back up. So when the NBA season comes back up, you already know we're going to be talking NBA instead of just talking about these redrafts. We're going to be talking about the actual things that are going on in the NBA. Preseason basketball is going on right now. Just watched the Washington Wizards play the Houston Rockets and watched Jalen Green and watched Kevin Porter Jr. and seeing how Kyle Kuzma adjusts with the Wizards. I just wanted to see how they watch and also bought my tickets to the Jalen Green Houston Rockets San Antonio Spurs game. I'm so excited. I can't wait to see that. I'm going to be sitting basically courtside. The tickets were definitely worth it. But anyways, y'all aren't here to hear me talk about that. Y'all are here to hear me talk about who I would redraft and who got it right and who didn't get it right in the 2012 draft. The 2012 draft was actually pretty solid. It was actually pretty solid throughout. You had a good amount of, you had your all-stars, you had your superstar MVP type players. You have your solid role players. You have solid starters, championship pieces. You had a little bit of everything. But anyways, let's go ahead and get into the original order. With the first pick, the New Orleans Hornets at the time took Anthony Davis out of Kentucky. Number two, Charlotte took Michael Kidd-Gilchrist. Number three, the Washington Wizards took Bradley Beal. Four, Cleveland Cavaliers took Deion Waiters. Five, the Sacramento Kings took Thomas Robinson, who at the time I was really high on. I even loved watching him. I loved playing with him in 2K. At the time, he was a beast. Thomas Robinson was at the time. But number six, the Portland Trail Blazers took Damian Lillard. Number seven, the Golden State Warriors took Harrison Barnes out of North Carolina. Eight, Toronto Raptors took Terrence Ross. 9, Detroit Pistons took Andre Drummond. 11, the Hornets had another pick where they took Austin Rivers. 10. The Hornets took 11. 11, Portland took Myers Leonard. 12, Houston took Jeremy Lamb. 13, Phoenix took Kendall Marshall, who was really high up because he's supposed to be the next Rondo. And then 14, the Milwaukee Bucks took John Henson. Other notables that came out of this draft are Chris Middleton, Will Barton, Draymond Green, Jay Crowder, Evan Fournier, and Maurice Harkless. So let's jump right into it. Going based off of what New Orleans did, I know New Orleans isn't going to be happy with this pick because they are not happy with Anthony Davis right now, but I have them sticking with their original pick. Even through all the injury history and the lack of aggression, I still think when he puts his mind to it, Anthony Davis is the best player in this draft and a top five player in the league on his best days. But then again, that's when he's aggressive because he's only like a top 25, top 30 player on his bad days. That's still really good, but his bad days, he kind of goes non-existent. He's an 8-time All-Star, 4-time All-NBA, 4-time All-Defense, 3-time Block Champ, and an NBA champion. He's a career 24-10 kind of guy. He can shoot, handle, defend. He can really do it all at 6'10". You know, there's not really much that's outside of Anthony Davis's bag. I feel like he'd be way more effective, and I'm so happy that he came out and said that this year he's going to play more five. And I think he is the ideal traditional five in today's league. A five who's a defensive player of the year candidate, who can switch on the guards and can, what's called, guard bigs, can rebound, can do everything on the defensive end. From, you know, staying in front of 1 through 5, basically not guarding 1 through 5, but he can stay in front of guards and everything and hold his own for a little bit on switches. Offensively, he's a mismatch nightmare, because if you put somebody, you put a guard on him and everything to match his quickness, he's too big and too dominant. You put a big on him, he's too fast, he can handle a rock, shoot it from the perimeter, take you off the dribble. I just think Anthony Davis is the perfect big man in the league today. If he could just stay healthy, I think he's just, there's no other, if he stays healthy, he is the best big in the league. It's just, there's so many what ifs with him. There's so many ifs with him. Like, can he stay healthy? If he stays healthy, if he plays aggressive, if he does this, if he does that, because we've seen him plenty of time not play aggressive. We've seen he can't play a full season in the league. There's just so many things along with him, but I still say he's number one. Number two, I have Charlotte. It's tough. But I have them taking Dame. You know, Dame Dollar is not a bad shot. I don't care what anybody says. Money on the line, give him the ball. I'm not sure how it works because Kemba's here, like I said. That's why I was so hesitant, because Kemba's still here. I still feel bad for him because he's leaving Portland to go to a poverty team in Charlotte. So he's not like he's like, oh yeah, I'm leaving Portland, I'm going to be a championship contender. No, you're going to be in more poverty because you're stuck in Charlotte now. One could argue that he is honestly the top guy in this draft. Like I said, I just don't believe so. I believe AD is the top guy in this draft. But Kemba's already here, and Kemba's going into his second year. So Beal might be the better option fit-wise. But, I mean, Bradley Beal's like 6'3", 6'4" anyway, so you're still going to have two undersized guards. So why not just take another undersized guard and have Dame there, the better guard, and just have him there doing most of them. They're both ball dominant, both really scoring. But in hindsight, Dame's the better player, so why would you not take the best player available? You can move Kemba. His trade value was high at the time. Move him, go along somewhere else, and build around Dame. Dame's a six-time All-Star, six-time All-NBA player, MVP-type candidate, big-time shot maker, big, tough shot taker. He can do it all on the offensive end. I feel really bad that he had to drop that 50, and he's still struggling out there in Portland. They need to get him some help out there. Number three, I have Washington sticking with their pick with Bradley Beal. Every redraft, you know, you have these players like Beal, like you're like Beal to the Wizards, like we like, okay, yeah, these teams actually got it right. And I saw on a lot of redraft pages, I was looking at some redraft pages, because I was like, huh, I wonder what other people have. You know, I always like to compare, because I make my list and what I believe, and I'd like to go back and look at other people's lists and be like, huh, maybe I put so-and-so too high, maybe I put so-and-so too low. It was ridiculous the amount of people that had Beal going five. A lot of people had Beal going fifth in this draft, not third. A lot of people had Draymond Green at three to Washington, and I was like, that is absurd. Yes, Draymond is a championship like caliber player. Yes, Draymond has been a defensive player of the year and showed he can do a lot of the winning plays and can be a good piece on a winning team. But the Wizards weren't a championship team yet. So Green, like John Wall plus Draymond Green, doesn't equal a championship team. So it doesn't make sense to me not to take Bradley Beal here. Like, I think the most you could argue is Chris Middleton, not Draymond Green. But I'm taking Bradley Beal still because he is a crazy scorer. He almost led the league in scoring last year. Steph didn't go crazy. This is about the time Wall fell off to injury anyway, so if you would have had an injured John Wall with a Draymond Green, that doesn't make sense. Like, to go with anybody but Beal kind of seems disrespectful. Like I said, I can see your argument for Chris Middleton, but Chris Middleton isn't a 30-point-per-game scorer who I don't believe he's a 30-point-per-game scorer that can lead your franchise. I haven't seen Chris Middleton get close to 30 yet, but also he has Giannis on his team, so who knows what would happen if Giannis wasn't on his team, but I still don't think he's as good of a score as Beal. So I'm going to go with Beal here. Beal's a three-time All-Star. You know, he's made an All-NBA team. He's had back-to-back seasons where he's averaged 30 a game. Yes, they've been on losing teams and losing records and everything like that, but he's still a bucket getter. I feel like that makes it even better because he's on a losing team without much help, so they're doubling him and everything like that. All the attention's on him, and he's still putting the ball in the basket. So, you know, Bradley Beal, number three. four, I have Cleveland going with Chris Middleton. Draymond Green might seem like a good choice to make with a big three with Kyrie and LeBron, but I'm going in the route of, you know, the latest champion of Chris Middleton. He's a solid defender and a good scorer. He's a solid scorer. Add another bucket getter that doesn't need the ball in his hand at all time because he's shown that he can shoot 40% from the three. He's another closer to add alongside them. Two-time All-Star, reigning NBA champ. I like that fit of Chris Middleton as the wing player beside in the third star alongside Kyrie and LeBron. I feel like that'd be really good. He, I think this is before LeBron came back, but Kyrie's there. So Kyrie, Chris Middleton, that'd be solid instead of Kyrie and Deion Waiters. And then, like I said, LeBron comes back, everything works out. At number five, this is where I have Sacramento taking Draymond Green because, like, I know there's, because after you get others, there's not too many players that have all-star potential outside of number five. So I think this is where you would take Draymond Green. You take the perfect glue guy. If any of those top five, the top four teams were like, just wanted, you know, you see those teams that they just get, they got a player, a couple players hurt. So they were just a playoff team. But then they got a couple players hurt, and then next thing you know, they're a lottery team, and then they luck into the lottery, get a good player, and they bounce back. They can be a championship contender again, or they traded for somebody else's pick. If this was like a if they had any championship contender teams in here, I would have had Draymond go earlier. But since there wasn't, I'm gonna have Draymond go to what's called Sacramento. He's a, like I said, perfect blue guy and champion. He's the top role player out of the remaining players right here, like. He's the role player of all role players. His numbers will never jump off the screen. He does all the little things you need to win. He's a perfect leader. He does everything, like I said, everything you need to win. He's going to have all the intangibles. He's going to coach and be your defensive anchor, and he can orchestrate an offense at the same time. The only problem is Sacramento is far, far away from a championship contender. So you don't really see these guys, like, prosper as much, and you don't see what they really, that you don't see their true value unless you put them in a championship contender. You put them on a poverty team like Sacramento, you're not gonna really see what he can do. But he is going to a team with Boogie and a declining, you know, year three Tyreke Evans. You know, Tyreke Evans' best year was his first year, but you still have Boogie, Tyreke Evans, and then you have Draymond to go along with them to jump their defense. Pairing him with Boogie could work because you have Boogie on the offense doing, you know, a lot of the offensive work, and Draymond doing the defensive work. They had year two IT, and like at point guard, they still have Marcus Thornton, Aaron Brooks. You know, they had some other people that could shoot and score and do little things like that. So I think defense, Sacramento's never been known as a defensive team. Davion Mitchell is going to change that this year, but in the past, Sacramento hasn't been known as a defensive team and have been known as a really bad defensive team. So I think adding Draymond right here changes everything. Three-time All-Star, three-time champion, six-time All-Defense, All-Defense, one Defensive Player of the Year, two-time All-Defense, All-NBA. He has, like, I'm over here starting over all his stuff. He has a really nice resume. A really nice resume. Not sure how that resume still looks now that he's in Sacramento instead. Six, I have Portland going with Andre Drummond. Unfortunately for Portland, they lose Dame to take this guy. I honestly wouldn't drive him this high because if you know me, you know how I feel about Andre Drummond. But he's still an all-star. He's still a rebound champ. He's still an all-NBA type player. An all-NBA type player at one point in his career. He did this. All I'm saying is I've never heard of an all-star or an all-NBA type player getting traded for a couple second-rounders. Drummond and Aldridge in your front court should dominate the boards. Won't be ideal defensively because Andre Drummond is not a good defender. And neither in LaMarcus Aldridge wasn't known as that great of a defender at the time. And without Dame, they won't really have much spacing and a lot of scoring in the, you know, the backcourt. They'll just, all their stuff really is going to be coming from LaMarcus Aldridge and Andre Drummond putbacks and things like that. You won't have Dame to hit their clutch shots. I don't think Portland is going to look good for a while, but their guard duties get left to Ronnie Price, Nolan Smith, Wesley Matthews, and Will Barton. Having a point forward in Batum, I think some of the playmaking duties can be, you know, divvied out to him. excuse me, but they would most definitely miss Dame scoring. I don't really got much to say about this. They just take the quote-unquote best player available, and he's a four-time rebound champ, two-time All-Star, one-time All-NBA, like I said already. So let's go ahead and jump up to the next one. Golden State. Golden State took Harrison Barnes originally right here, and I like Harrison Barnes, but I feel like Jay Crowder would be a better fit alongside this team. Because this player, like Jay Crowder fits. He's a really, really good, tough 3-and-D player that does his job. He doesn't, like, avoid the big moments. We saw what Harrison Barnes did in the finals. He looked horrendous, which is why they moved him. Those who parted ways eventually. Jay Crowder, he's consistent. He makes winning plays. There's not much to say other than he gets the job done. Like, he's a guy that does his job, and he does it well. So, number eight, Toronto. I'm going to have them going with Evan Fournier. With Lowry and DeRozan still there, I think Fournier could be a good fit alongside him. He's another plug-and-play type guy. I like Evan Fournier. He did a little stint in Boston. Now he's with the Knicks. I really like Evan Fournier. I believe he can play in basically any and every system and like adjust accordingly. Like there's no system he can't really fit in. He can handle the ball well enough to be a secondary playmaker. He can shoot and score on all three levels. He can be like, he's just a guy. He can be like, oh yeah, he can be your second ball handler. He can be your second or third scorer on your team. He's a solid team defender. He can be a six man or a starter. There's a lot of different roles you can put him in. So I think Toronto can use a guy like this and just take the next best player available right there in Evan Fournier. Number nine, Detroit. They needed another scorer outside of Greg Monroe on this team, because nobody on this team averaged over 11 points per game outside of Greg Monroe. So I'm going to have them taking Harrison Barnes, because Harrison Barnes was an above average scorer. You know, he got up to 19 points a game in Dallas. He still got a bad rap playing awful in the finals. I just mentioned it a while ago. He got traded mid-game in Dallas to Sacramento. I still think he's a solid forward in this league. I believe, like, out of all the remaining guys, he's the best scorer in the league. And at least consistency-wise, like, he's the best consistent scorer out of the remaining guys. And I mean, I would love to have a Harrison Barnes on my team, so I don't see this as a bad bet. I think Detroit could use, because like I said, they didn't have anybody score over 11 a game on that team. So I think Harrison Barnes will fit pretty well there. Number 10, I have the New Orleans Hornets. Instead of taking Austin Rivers to pair alongside AD, this time we're going to take Terrence Ross. I know I said Barnes was the best remaining scorer. However, Ross is one of the few players in this class that has a 50-point game. You know, when he was in Toronto, he showed the capability to explode for scoring. And, you know, just as a scorer, he's super athletic. He can shoot the three, even though he's streaky with it. He reminds you of a, you know, like a discount Draymond. Discount J.R. Smith. You know, like I said, explosive leaping ability, streaky shooting. I just think he'd be an upgrade over Austin Rivers right here. They thought Austin Rivers, they were going to be getting a good score coming in, and he didn't really fill that role. So you have Terrence Ross, and you saw what he could do early on in those Toronto years. So have him doing that with AD. Maybe that can change things. They can shoot them in a different direction. Who knows where New Orleans goes from here? It's not like this is going to be a drastic change, but it's going to definitely be an upgrade here. 11, Portland, they're going to go with Will Barton. I have Portland taking their second round pick here. He definitely outplayed his second round selection once he got to Denver, showing that he could do more given the proper situation. He's been a solid double-digit contributor since he got his opportunity, and he hasn't looked back since. In Portland, he wasn't really getting much play. He wasn't getting much opportunity like that. Second he got to Denver, he did all this and that and looked really good. Hopefully, with them taking him 11 instead in the second round, they give him more play. They see what he can do, and he jumps up and turns into the Will Barton we all know he is today. Number 12, Houston Rockets. I have them sticking with their pick of Jeremy Lamb just because they packaged him to get the James Harden trade. So I have them sticking with this just to make that package deal. And Jeremy Lin is a solid enough player. Even though he did struggle a little on OKC, he played better in Charlotte, getting up to like 15 points a game, averaging roughly about 12 points a game. So I think Jeremy Lin is still a solid player. He can be a solid backup in this league. And out of all the players left, I mean, a solid backup is really good at this point. So like I said, just take them so he can package them along with the James Harden trade, and you're good to go. Number 13, Phoenix, Maurice Harkless. Taking a 3-and-D player that can play 2 through 4. Yes, they need a PG more than anything, but there aren't really any PGs left that amount to anything and can actually run an offense. So instead of just taking a PG because y'all need that position, and then them not panning out and getting out of the offense and getting off the team real soon, just take the best player available and the player that can fit on a good team, because he can shoot the three and plays defense, and they have Dragic still there at point guard, so they would have been fine for like another season just to see how it goes, just until they next year draft a point guard or next year look up some options in free agency. And the fact there's no other guards left is pretty sad. Like, no other guard options, like point guard options, is really sad at this point. And we're only at pick 13, and the point guard is looking really, really, really bad. Number 14, I have Milwaukee taking Kent Bazemore. Kent Bazemore was undrafted. Hey. And now he hit the lottery. I mean, that's a real big jump. He's a solid defender, and with not many options left, I just went with fit. Bazemore was known as one of the best defenders coming into this draft at the time, and the Bucks were a hyper offensive, like at the guard at this time, because they had Monte Ellis, Brandon Jennings, J.J. Redick, and Ish Smith. So they didn't really have no defense there. So why not take somebody who was known as one of the best defenders in college? Doesn't hurt too much to add a good defender alongside all those guards. But with their paint protection that year, they had a pretty solid defense because Larry Sanders went crazy that year. And they had like two other players with like 2+ blocks a game. I think Larry Sanders, he averaged 2-3 blocks a game that year, I think. Inc. And they had, like I said, they had two other players that averaged 2 blocks a game. So they had a crazy year block-wise and crazy defensive year with a bunch of guards that can't really play defense. That should show you what their paint defense was looking like. So why not add on to that? Have a perimeter defender. Your defense can even look even better. I know this was a very, very, very short episode. And usually these episodes take twice as long, but when the draft isn't that strong, it's hard for me just to keep talking about these guys and be like, because there's really no debate. There's no like, huh, should I take this one? Okay, you could argue from this one. Okay, you could argue from this one. Once we got to pick 5, everything after pick 5 was kind of like a, yeah, okay, cool. Because after pick 5, there was no other all-star type players. I mean, you had Andre Drummond, who's technically an all-star. So I should say after pick 6, there's no more all-stars. Everybody else is just like solid players, solid starting caliber players or journeymen or anything like that. Because this draft outside of like the top 5 picks is kind of weak. If those top 5 players weren't there that I had them taking the draft, this would be just as bad as the previous draft. But Anthony Davis, Bradley Beal, Damian Lillard, you know, all them, Draymond Green, Chris Middleton, they saved this draft. I mean, like I said, you still have the solid players like Evan Fournier and Jay Crowder. But if you don't have those superstar, all-star type players, then you end up like last year where you have, who knows, you might have Evan Fournier as a top 3 pick, as a number 1 pick. Without those guys. So it's kind of, these drafts, they're kind of tricky in that way. I think the 2011 draft should be more entertaining. I believe is that the Kyrie Irving draft? I believe that's the Kyrie Irving draft. So that draft should be more entertaining, and we should go from there. But anyways, guys, this has been another episode of the Ath Geeks podcast. Always, always, always remember to respect women. But most importantly, remember to respect yourself.